Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
We've been talking this week and last week about growing in community together. And John last week talked about what it meant for us to grow as a community together and how that operates as a church body. He was talking about being created for community, that we're made for community. God is a community, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There isn't just one God on his own throughout eternity. There are three persons who are related together. Community is in eternity. It always has been. And when we become community together, we're joining together with an eternal truth, with an eternal happening, because God's been doing it forever. And we're coming into the community that he has for us. And so John gave us three S's, which are benefits of living in community together. Can anybody give me one of those S's this morning? Safety was one. Good. Another one? Security. Safety, security. And the final one? Support. All of those things we find in community together and get expressed, especially in a small group context. These contexts are wonderful. Corporate worship, the gathering, we hear God together. It's a powerful time. But you cannot build true community in a room like this, even though we're going to have potlucks together at the end. We can start building relationship, but those sorts of relationships are only really built together in small group settings, which is why we're preaching about that over this couple of weeks. So I'm going to give us another S this morning. About being created for community. We're going to talk about being strengthened in community, and we're going to go to one verse in particular out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm just going to read it for us this morning. He's actually talking to people who are breaking up community. It's actually a really fearful thing for people to dismantle the communities that God puts together. And sow disunity into the house of God and pull down what God is building. You do not want to be in those shoes. And we can all get there. Attitude stuff goes on in our heart. We get hurt, we get wounded or whatever. And suddenly we can start operating in a way that's moving against what Jesus is doing in building his church together. But Jesus is building his church and we want to partner with him. And so he's talking to people who are actually dismantling or beginning to dismantle the church. And he says this about them. He says, they're not holding fast to the head. This is verse 19 of Colossians chapter 2. From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. So the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we grow stronger as a community together? And it's obvious when you read that verse where it starts and where it ends. It starts with the headship, the lordship, the kingship, the rulership, the governmentship of Jesus Christ over his church. That's where it starts. And it flows through his body. And as the life of Jesus flows through his body, it grows his body. God starts the process, God enables the process, and at the end of the day, it all goes back to God in worship and praise, because whatever happens, we know God did it. We're not that smart, right? We tend to do things that aren't helpful in the building up of God's body, but Jesus is at work to build up his body, to strengthen his body, and we want to know, how do we partner with Jesus in that process today? Some of you may have been, as Karen was saying, with Gateway for many, many years. Some of you 30, 40, 50 years. I've been here 32 years. Some of you may have just walked through the door. Who is Gateway? What are we about? How do I become part of it? How do I become a strengthened part of this community? Let me give you some thoughts this morning out of the scripture. And for the sake of the time that we have here, I'm going to skim a couple of my points so that you can pick them up, take them away, look at them at home. Study them in your small group if you want to. But I just give you the headlines to get you going. How does Jesus strengthen the community of his church? Well, there are three things I want to take from here this morning. The first is that he nourishes his church. Secondly, he knits his church. And thirdly, he governs his church. So I'll just give you the headline of He Nourishes His Church. When Jesus talks, Paul talks in the New Testament about the relationship between Jesus and the church. He talks about a relationship between a husband and a wife. You'll find that in Ephesians, another of Paul's letters, chapter 5. Let me read to you what it says. He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." So there's the picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. "And gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." And then if you look at verse 29, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." Paul is saying that a husband ought to nourish and cherish his wife. Love her. Make sure she's supplied for. Make sure she's able to grow into the fullness of who God has made her to be. Not restrict her, not hold her back, but see her released into the fullness, the full calling of God that is on her life as a woman of God and a daughter of the Most High King. That is the role of a husband. And Paul says that that role is like Jesus's role in his church. He's looking to nourish his church. He's looking to cherish his church, to love her, to see her grow into the fullness of the expression of who God made her to be. A full expression of Jesus Christ to this world, a mature expression. That is what Jesus is doing. And he does it by nourishing his church. And one of the ways there you can see from what Paul says about how he nourishes the church is by washing her with water through the word. That word nourishing means that he feeds. And not just any old food. Jesus doesn't feed the church junk food. Here's some stuff that'll tickle your fancy and it'll kind of get you over to next week, make you feel good about stuff for a while or whatever, but it's not really growing you into a healthy body. Jesus gives us the food that makes us healthy. That means sometimes he gives us broccoli. I like broccoli. Isn't it lovely listening to these folks here talking about, you know, how they gather together around food and you know, but we know that a balanced diet means that we're careful about what we want to, what we eat, so that our body is healthy. Jesus watches over his church to give her a balanced diet, to feed her well. And he does it by nourishing and cherishing her through the word. So when we come together this morning, if any words I speak to you this morning are the words of God, this is Jesus loving you. This is Jesus nourishing you. This is Jesus strengthening you. Right? I'm not here to give you my own opinions about things. I want to just say to you what I feel the Lord is saying to you. And not only can we hear and nourish, get nourished in the word of God on a Sunday morning when we hear someone get up and preach, but God wants to nourish you personally in your own lives every day of the week. Man does not live by bread alone, the Bible tells us, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when you open your Bible in the morning, you might be really tired. You might not know if you can concentrate long enough. I sometimes find myself at the end of the chapter and I don't know how I got there and what the chapter said. I'm sure you're not like me. But when you open your word, Jesus sits in heaven and he thinks, yes, we're going to sit down for a meal together. And Jesus has a commitment to nourish you through his word. It might not be easy. You might have difficult studying it. If you have problems or you want to grow in knowing how to nourish yourself in the word of God, we're going to be teaching Gateway 200 in March. We'll give you lots of options to be part of that. 4 healthy habits for growing as a Christian. And one of them is how to get the most out of your time in the word. So we'll be encouraging you that. Watch out for that in March. But you know, we're not just to receive the word that God gives us. Isn't it lovely? They were sharing the food. They got all these great recipes, but they actually bring each other around and share them with each other. When God gives you a word, pray about who you should give it to. Pass it on. Give the word to other people. We can nourish each other, and that most effectively happens in a small group context. We encourage our small groups, open the word of God. What is God saying? But you might come to that small group and it's like, I was reading in the Bible yesterday and God said this to me. I've got a man who lives down the street who's a different nationality and a different culture. And Lord, how do I reach him? What do I do? I've got to know him. I know his name and everything else. I was reading through the Old Testament and I found his name in the Old Testament. He's an Asian man with an Asian name. And I found his name in the Old Testament. I can't wait to see him. I found you in the Bible. Sharing the word with God with each other because it nourishes us. Jesus nourishes his church, and he does it in a large context. He does it as an individual context, but he does it in small groups as you share your meals in the word of God together. Jesus nourishes his church. Secondly, Jesus knits his church. The church of God is not an organization. The church of God is not an institution. The church of God is not a corporation. The church of God is not even a denomination. The church of God is a family. It's God's family that have been brought together through the older son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us to be family together. And Jesus knits his family together. You are not here by accident today. Jesus is knitting his church together. And he's made some changes, if you haven't noticed, in COVID. COVID is a shaking up of the church. God was doing stuff in the middle of COVID, as well as whatever else was going on. God had a plan, and his plan will rule over everybody else's. And God was shaking up his church to shake out of the church everything that is not the headship, the living, active, real headship of Jesus Christ over his church, and reposition his church for what is coming next. And I'm excited about what's coming next. Whenever God does something on the earth, he starts with his church. And Jesus is knitting his people together. And one of the questions some of you might be asking this morning as you sit in this room is, am I here because Jesus is knitting me to this church body? That is the right question to ask. Let me unpack what that means for us. Three things that Jesus knitting the church together means for us this morning out of this passage. First of all, the church is essentially relational. It's knit together by relational joints and ligaments. Those joints put together, but they're held together by those cords of love, the bands of trust, the bands of commitment to each other that hold the body of Christ together. We are relationally joined. When I left England all those years ago as a 29-year-old young man, I mentioned this to some of you before, but it was the middle of the charismatic movement. There were all these amazing things happened. God had raised up lots of leaders who were doing incredible things. If you wanted to get a great worship, you went over here to this church. If you wanted great, powerful preaching, you go over here. If you want healing ministries and stuff, there was stuff happening everywhere. Take your pick. It was just an amazing time in some ways to be a young people, to be a young person. But there was something in me that couldn't just do church that way. Because as much as I love the presence of God and the power of God and the preaching of the word and all the good things of the body of Christ, I wasn't looking for a what. I wasn't even looking for a where. I was looking for a who. Because the church is essentially relational. It's not a what. It's not a where. It's a who. It's people. And who is God joining me to? I came here to Canada having known Ron for 20 minutes in a meeting in David Alistair's house in Newcastle. What's your name? Peter, my name. How old are you? This is how old I am. Are you married? No. Is there anybody? No. Let's pray. That's kind of how the conversation went. Rob was in a hurry to go to a Bible school. And I came out here to Winnipeg not to make the decision of whether God's calling me to Winnipeg or Canada. I'd had Canada in my heart since I was a young kid. But that wasn't what was on my heart. What was on my heart was, is God joining my heart with Ron's heart and the people that Ron is with? I came here, I was looking through my diaries last night, I'm reading them and going through, is this the people God wants me to be joined to? Because the church of God is essentially relational. And during the course of that first year, God fused our hearts together and joined us together. Spent the first 3 weeks in John and Val's home. God knit our hearts together. Wherever they are in the world, wherever they're serving, they're going to be special to me. He did the same for many of you in this room who I met around the same time. God knit our hearts together because Jesus is knitting his church. Some of you, he's picked you up from the other side of the world. What are you doing with me, Jesus? I don't know what's going on. Some of you have been in different churches in the city, and it's like Jesus has picked you up and it's time to move. And it's like, I don't know what's going on. What's happening? And you might be asking, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Which church am I supposed to belong to? Can I change your question? Ask the Holy Spirit, who are you joining me to? Because the church of God is essentially relational. And I'm so glad about that. Aren't you? We're a family. He puts us in a family together. First of all, we're knit together by Jesus. And that means that, whatever my notes say it means, the church is essentially relational. Secondly, Jesus joins people together in purpose. I obviously felt that for Ron, but I was single when I came here. Julia and I met each other at college when we were 18 years old in a music class. We both did music together for 3 years, and then unbeknownst to both of us, we both applied for another college in another part of the country to do our teaching certificate. So we end up on another course, even smaller, together in a place called Durham. And we got on as friends and both felt a call from God to mission and to following Jesus. And there was a moment when I was going to go and see Julia and have coffee together in Durham. She's shaking her head because she's shaking her head. And for whatever reason, some of us needed help, all right? And if God hadn't have joined me to Ron and the team here, John and the others, I wouldn't have got the help that I needed. This is important to Jesus. So I was going to go and see Julia, and I didn't go. I wish I could remember the reason. It was a really good reason, but I can't remember it. So I can't justify myself. I'm without excuse. I didn't go, and for whatever reason. Anyway, Julia's sitting waiting for me in Durham, and the Lord spoke to her. What did the Lord say to you, Julia? You, Peter, mission and worship. You and Peter, mission. We weren't even going out. A few years later, Julia is pursuing mission in China, heading to northwest China. I'm in Canada. You couldn't get further apart if you wanted to. But the Lord was stirring the hearts of the people around me, and the Lord was stirring my heart and awakening my heart to what I missed. And by the grace of God, God brought Julia to Canada, and we were married here Christmas Day 30 years ago this Christmas. In Panet Road, on a Sunday morning, Ron married us. John preached in the Sunday morning service. Family. But Julia and I, God brought us together because he wanted us to be together in mission. Julia could have done all sorts in China, and she'd already been blessed out there in what she was doing. I could have done all sorts in Canada, but God wanted us to be together in mission. We came to Pannett Road. God called us to the south. We bought a home in the south. We moved to the south. God called us back to be the principal of the school. I came up to be the principal of the school. We moved back to Pannett Road to be the principal of the school. God's called us to West St. Paul. We sold up. We moved to West St. Paul because we're on a mission together. Jesus's mission. God knits us together for mission. And you might be in this room here today wondering what you're doing here, but you believe that God is joining you to us. It's because he has a purpose for you here. And we're going to see that purpose grow as we grow together. That's why it's important to get the who right. Most of us want to get the mission right. What am I supposed to do and where am I supposed to do it? But if we don't have the who sorted, we won't have the relational joints and ligaments that will hold us through all the pressures that are going to come. Because the third point about Jesus knitting his church is this. Knitting here doesn't mean knitting. Jesus isn't sitting in heaven with his knitting needles. Knitting. That word actually means to fuse together. It's when a potter takes a piece of pottery, makes this beautiful piece of pottery, but wants to elevate it to another level. And so wants to put some gold in it or some ivory in or some pieces. And so they get that gold and the ivory and the pieces and they put the glue on it. They heat the glue up. They make it hot and then they press it together. They compact it together so that 100, 200, 300, 400 years later, you can find that piece of pottery and it's still got those pieces fused into it. Compacted together. That's what the word means. Fused together. Which means that these relationships that God brought together, he puts through the fire. Because it's in the fire that they become strong. It's in the fire that they are purified. It's in the fire that they are brought together in a new level of commitment and humility and grace with each other. And so God puts our relationships with the in the fire. And sometimes we look at that and we think, well, that means God doesn't want me here. If you're in the fire this morning, it might be the entirely opposite conclusion. It might be you're in the fire because God wants you here. And we can run when the fire comes. Or we can allow God to take us through the fire, to humble ourselves in it and to fuse us together. John and Jolie, they were leading the young adults here at the North and Pannett Road when we were in the South. We had bits and pieces to do with them, but not very much. As they were doing their ministry here, we were doing our ministry there. And then, but we went away on a trip to Guatemala. And on that trip to Guatemala, we were setting up on street corners, preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. We were ministering to the churches. It was a great time. And God did something to our hearts. He knit our hearts together. God sent them off to Chile, blessed them in Chile. God brought us back to Pannett here, Gateway, and then God brought them back and fused us together. And so there's something there that God's brought together. Dawson leading worship here. Dawson was 16 years old when he and I started a mentoring relationship together, when he and his family were in the South. We've walked together all these years. There's a relationship, there's a joining of the Lord that's come together. He marries Jenny. It's lovely to be part of her wedding. Jenny and Rebecca were in the grade 4-5 class when I taught it, when I first came from England. Yeah, I lost the hair along the way. It's the journey. But it wasn't because of them. and then Rebecca marries Michael. Michael comes along. God joins our hearts together. And Kenny and Sade and Pete and Dale and all the people that are part of our leadership team. And then we plan Gateway North and it's going to be great. We're all excited. Guess what? What's going to happen? Fire. Fuego. We used to pray in Guatemala, but we were praying, fuego, fuego, fuego on people. I don't pray that anymore so often, especially not in a mirror. Less fuego, Lord, less fuego. Anyway, fire. And you're thinking, what's going on? Why the heat, Lord? Why all the struggle? Why the stuff that's going off everywhere? Lord, why aren't you with us? Oh no, God is with us. The fire is God with us. God forging something together in the fire. I'm so proud of this directional team because I've watched what's happened to them. They've hung on to each other. They've hung on to what God was bringing us into. Those of you who've been praying with us, you've been hanging on. God's been holding on through the fire. You've prayed through everything with us. Those of you who've been ministering in different parts of the church, we've been up and down, we didn't know where we were going sometimes. God has forged something in the fire. That's what it means for Jesus to knit his church together. And unfortunately, sometimes we can hit attitudes in our heart and it's like, boom, I'm off and I'm out and I'm whatever. And we miss the wonderful things God has for us because we don't see his hand in the fire. We think it's everybody else doing it to us, the devil doing to us, but it's Jesus forging us together. Final thing. Jesus nourishes his church. Jesus knits his church. Jesus governs his church. This all starts and flows from the headship of Jesus Christ. Kingship, queenship, has died out around our world. Not much of it left in many places. Not so the kingdom of God. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And whatever else was happening in COVID, I can tell you what was happening in heaven. Jesus is taking back the lordship of his church. God the Father is determined that Jesus will be the Lord of his church. No other ideas, no other isms, no other whatever. Community, that word community means with unity, in unity together. Any true community is bound together by something, by an idea, by a person maybe sometimes, or a belief system, or whatever it might be. The community of the church is bound together by and around the person of Jesus Christ and his rulership and his reigning through his church. And what you heard today, if you were listening to what the Spirit was saying to the churches, was that God has exalted this Jesus. And he's given him the highest place. High above every ruler or authority. Because if you go back in Colossians to figure out what headship means, it tells us that every rulership or authority was created by Jesus and for Jesus. Every ruling place on this earth, every government seat, in the real that we can see and touch, and in the spiritual that the enemy has taken over because we've allowed him to take that over. Every one of those seats of authority was made by Jesus and for Jesus. And God the Father is determined that everything is going to come together in heaven and earth under one head, Jesus Christ. And where does that start and where does that get its biggest expression on the earth? Through the church. Jesus being the living, active head. And what happens in these joints and ligaments when God joins us together? And as we learn, if you go back to that Ephesians chapter in 5, and it talks about husbands and wives, it actually starts before that by saying, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ, because there's a spiritual authority that's flowing into the church from Jesus Christ. And as we submit to each other and allow each other to speak into our lives and to help us in our small group situation where all of these relationships really come alive, the authority of Jesus flows into our lives in so many different ways. I believe in spiritual authority. I didn't just come to work alongside Ron and the elders and whatever. I came to give myself under them. Doesn't mean that everything they say and do is perfect. But my eyes aren't on them. My eyes on Jesus, the head of the church, who puts people in place in his church, in leadership. We all connect to the head ourselves. We don't need anybody else to help us get there or somewhere in between. We all connected to the head, Jesus Christ. But his authority flows down through his body. And that's what helps to grow and strengthen it. And it flows through godly leadership in his church. It's not a tone that the world wants to hear. It's not a tone that a lot of the church wants to hear. But Jesus is going to be restored as the head of his church, which means that his authority and his power and his influence is going to flow through his church. And he does that through godly leadership. You know, when you take over as a senior pastor in a church from a previous senior pastor, one of the accepted wisdoms out there sometimes is it's better if this previous senior pastor moves away. Gives you a chance to, you know, run, do what you want to do and whatever, and not with the influence of the senior pastor that was there before. Sometimes God can do that if God calls somebody away. We haven't done it. I won't do it. Because the church is relational. The church is knit by Jesus. And if Jesus puts things together, who are we to pull them apart? And the life flow that I've received for 32 years through John, Ron, the others that have been a blessing to me all these years, I can still receive. There's more to come. There's more grace to flow. Why wouldn't we want that here? Why wouldn't I want that here? Why wouldn't we want that flow of life in this body? Who doesn't want Mary leading worship? Who doesn't want Ron preaching and prophesying and speaking to us? Who doesn't want him speaking into my life and our lives? This is the church of Jesus Christ. It's not my church. It's not even our church. It's Jesus' church. He builds his church and is built differently from the corporations of this world. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's the Lord. And if we want to grow strong, and if you want to grow strong in your faith, I want to encourage you. Find out who it is that Jesus is joining you to. Join yourself to them. Ask the Lord, where's the spiritual authority, the grace that I can live under, that I can receive, that can help me to grow, help me to find the right wife, grow as a family, help me with my children when I grow up, help me when I'm trying to lead a congregation that's bigger than anything I would ever have imagined being possible. Lord Jesus, I need help. That help flows through the joints and the ligaments of a church that is knit together by Jesus Christ. And what he's put together, let no man put asunder.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.